Today on this Mission Sunday, we're turning our hearts to the Word of God from Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 25, and then we're going to the New Testament, John chapter 4 and verse 35. Beginning with God's Word, Proverbs 4:25, let your eyes look straight ahead and your sight be focused in front of you. The Holman's says, let your eyes look forward, fix your gaze straight ahead. To the New Testament, John chapter 4 and verse 35, the latter part of that verse, from the Message, Jesus said, I'm telling you to open your eyes and take a good look at what's right in front of you. These Samaritan fields are ripe. It's harvest time. The greatest communication success story in human history is the story of how the gospel of Jesus Christ spread throughout the Mediterranean world, resulting in the immense harvest of souls. According to historians, the followers of Jesus grew from a few hundred on the day of Pentecost to more than 6 million people by the end of the second century. And halfway through the third century, that number grew to almost 30 million believers. This is an amazing number considering the only media were word-of-mouth encounters and handwritten letters. Now, we can easily assume that both the impact and the growth of the church was due to the effective preaching of Peter and of Paul and a few other gifted communicators. And while their efforts were incredibly important, of equal importance was the ability of ordinary Christians to lay hold of and live by a command found in our text today. Proverbs 4:25, let your eyes look straight ahead, your sight be focused in front of you. John 4:35, open your eyes and take a good look at what's right in front of you. The fields are ripe. It's harvest time. My message today on Mission Sunday focused on the fields in front of us. Focused on the fields in front of us. Attaining and keeping the vision of mission was the key of it being said of the early church. Those who have turned the world upside down have come here also. Not only the apostles, but the everyday ordinary believers recognized, they perceived, they focused on the fact that sharing the message of Jesus Christ was everyone's mission. That was their heart of focus. It was everyone's responsibility, everyone's mission. Therefore, the gospel spread like wildfire from household to household, oikos to oikos, as men and women personally testified to the saving power of Jesus Christ to relatives, to acquaintances, to colleagues, to masters, slaves, student teachers, customers, shop owners, and fellow soldiers in their everyday world. Their most significant mission field was right in front of them, contained within their network of immediate relationships. And while Jesus made it perfectly clear that the gospel must be taken to the whole world, his plan was that it begin with the people in closest proximity to his followers. Now listen, throughout every generation, God has searched for and God has required a man, a woman, both young and old alike, to look, to focus on the fields before them, to focus on what is right around them, to take hold of the vision of mission, the vision of mission. Think of Abraham, the father of faith. How did it all begin? With Abraham, the father of faith. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 5. And God brought him outside his tent into the starlight and said, look now toward the heavens and count the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Look now. Look now. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 8. By an act of faith, Abraham said yes to God's call, to travel to an unknown place that would become his home. When he left, he had no idea where he was going. Abraham did it by keeping his eye on an unseen city with real, eternal foundations, the city designed and built by God. Verse 12, that's how it happened, that from one man's dead and shriveled loins, there are now people numbering into the millions. That's how it began under the old covenant. Let's go to the new. We come to the very beginning of the early church in Acts chapter 3. Peter and John are on their way to the temple for prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They come across a lame beggar at the gate called Beautiful. Now listen, Acts chapter 3 and verse 3. When he saw Peter and John about to enter the temple, he asked for a handout. Peter with John at his side looked him straight in the eye and said, look here. He looked up, expecting to get something from them. And you know the story. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he walked and leaped and began praising God as the power of God surged into his feet and into his ankles. And he received that strength and he followed these men into the temple. And then verse 9 says, everybody there saw him. They recognized him as the one who sat begging at the temple's gate, Beautiful. And they rubbed their eyes, astonished, scarcely believing what they were seeing. The man threw his arms around Peter and John, ecstatic. And all the people ran up to where they were at Solomon's porch to see it. For themselves. And the result, 5,000 believed the message which Peter preached and were added to the church. Focus on the field right in front of you. Focus on the need right in front of you. Sometimes it's easier said than done. Now follow me carefully. I want to turn and give us some practical insight in the moments remaining today with you. What must we overcome in order to stay focused on the fields that are before us? What must we overcome in order to stay focused, not to lose our focus on the need of crying, sighing, dying humanity? Let's look at a few areas that we have to overcome. Back to the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 9. This made Saul angry, very angry. He took it as a personal insult. He said, they credit David with 10,000s and me with only thousands. Before you know it, they'll be giving him the kingdom. From that moment on, Saul kept his eye on David. What must we overcome to stay focused on the fields that are right before us? In this hour when there's so much distraction, so many voices, so much that would cause us to remove our eyes from those right around us whom we can impact and share Jesus with and see him make a great difference in their life. From that moment on, Saul kept his eye on David. Saul took his eye off his calling. Saul took his eye off his purpose. And he put his eyes on David. Number one, comparison. What must we overcome in order to stay focused on the fields in front of us? Number one, comparison. It's so tempting to take our eyes off Jesus, off his cause, and look at other people. Comparison will cloud God's call on your life. Comparing ourselves to others places roadblocks along the path to fulfilling our God-given calling by setting an undefined standard of approval and acceptance. Another example in John chapter 21 and verse 21, when Peter saw John, he asked Jesus, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus replied, "If I want him to live until I come back, what concern is that of yours? You follow me." In these intimate moments with Christ on the shores of Galilee, some of the final few moments that Jesus would have with his disciples, Peter has just been given an important commission. And right after being given this commission, he turns and he looks at John and he begins to wonder of John's future and of John's purpose. Jesus, ever so patient, ever so loving, explains to the impulsive Peter that he was not to be concerned about God's plan for anyone else but himself. Jesus wanted his relationship with Peter to grow, that Peter might stay focused on his purpose. Church, listen to me. It's pointless to stare at someone else's path, their relationships, their spiritual growth, their career, their finances, when Jesus is simply telling us to follow and to serve him. Come on, stop watching and worrying about John. Stop watching and worrying about John. We never need to consider if we're becoming more like our friends. Our friends are not our measuring stick for our lives. Jesus, the Lord of the harvest, is our measuring stick. Ask him instead if you're becoming more like him. Go to him and inquire, "Am I becoming more like you, Jesus? Is my life really making a difference? Making an impact in those around me?" Secondly, Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 and 26. If you decide for God, living a life of God worship, it follows that you don't fuss about what's on the table at mealtimes or whether the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There is far more to your life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Look at the birds, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, careless in the care of God. And you count far more to him than birds. What must we overcome to keep our focus in this hour, to keep our focus on the fields in front of us? First, it requires that we do not compare, no comparison. Secondly, cares. We must overcome the cares. The day-to-day responsibilities are one of our biggest focal points. And indeed, we need to take care of our jobs. We do need to take care of our families, our own needs, but we must not be consumed by them. Oh, it's happening everywhere. People are so consumed with the cares of this life. When Jesus addressed the cares of this life, what was his instruction? What was his instruction? He said, look at the birds of the air. Look at the birds of the air. He followed it up by saying, look at the flowers. When we keep our focus where it needs to be, we will live free of anxiety that often accompanies cares. If we don't have time to pursue God because of the daily grind, we are too distracted by our cares. And finally, Matthew chapter 20 and verse 20, it was about that time that the mother of the Zebedee brothers came with her two sons and knelt before Jesus with a request. Jesus responded, "You have no idea what you're asking." And he said to James and John, "Are you capable of drinking the cup that I'm about to drink?" And they said, "Sure, why not? Sure, why not? Bring it on." They wanted, the mother's request was that they, James and John, sit with Jesus close to him on his throne. And Jesus responded, "You have no idea what you're asking. Are you capable of drinking the cup that I'm about to drink?" They said, "Sure, why not?" Number three, celebrity. Apparently, the mother of James and John believed her sons worked harder and sacrificed more than the others. They should be rewarded for their loyal service, and they should be given celebrity status right next to Christ's throne. James and John didn't stop, Mama. The Bible says they all knelt before Jesus. They were right in there with her. How did Jesus respond? By having James and John focus on the cup of suffering that he was soon to drink. Church, do we want to make a name for ourselves? Deep down, are we James and John asking to be the greatest? Especially in our society, where almost anyone can become a social media celebrity, the temptation is so distracting. Listen, the truth is the God who spoke the universe into existence knows your name. You don't need any further celebrity status than that. Stay focused on God. Stay focused on the call that God has for your life. Stay focused on what you are to be and what you are to do in His field. Let's turn our hearts to prayer right now. Let's set ourselves in His presence. Let's lift up our eyes unto Him, taking our eyes off of that which has consumed us, that which is so much a part of our lives. Father, we come before You today. We, Your people, stand before You today. We ask You to open our eyes, renew our vision of mission, oh God. Nothing has changed with You, my Father. You are still searching. You are still looking for those who will focus on the fields, on those that are right around them, those fields ripe for harvest. Forgive us for comparing ourselves to others. Shake us out of this bondage of seeking to measure up to others. Deliver us from the pressure brought on by pursuing the cares of this life. Set us free, oh God. May we not yield to the temptation to make a name for ourselves. Let us lift up our eyes off all these distractions today. Let us give attention, oh God, to what You desire us to be and what You desire us to do in the field that are before us, and we give You the praise. We give You the glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, give Him glory today. Give Him praise. He is the Lord of the harvest. He is mighty Redeemer. He is mighty God. We love You and thank You, Jesus. Now, just before we go, if you desire to know more about entering a relationship with Jesus Christ, or if you would like to know more about Nairobi Lighthouse Church, please call or text the number that's right at the bottom of your screen. Would love to hear from you. Would love to pray with you. Would love to stand with you. God bless you. Today on this Mission Sunday, we're turning to the Word of God from the Old Testament and the New, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 25, as well as John chapter 4 and verse 35. From God's Word translation, Proverbs 4:25, let your eyes look straight ahead and your sight be focused in front of you. The Holman's translation, let your eyes look forward. Fix your gaze straight ahead. John chapter 4, verse 35 from the Message. The latter part of that verse, I'm telling you, Jesus said, I'm telling you to open your eyes and take a good look at what's right in front of you. These Samaritan fields are ripe. It's harvest time. The greatest communication success story in human history is the story of how the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ spread across the Mediterranean world, resulting in the immense harvest of souls. According to historians, the followers of Jesus grew from just a few hundred on the day of Pentecost to more than 6 million people by the end of the second century. And halfway through the third century, Christianity grew to nearly 30 million people. This is an amazing number, considering the only media were word-of-mouth encounters as well as handwritten letters. Now, we can easily assume that both the impact and the growth of the church was due to the effective preaching of Paul and Peter and a few other gifted communicators. And indeed, while their efforts were incredibly important, of equal importance was the ability of ordinary Christians to lay hold of and by... All right. I think I'm going to start this whole thing over.